Welcome to the first episode of In Case You Missed It, where I briefly review a number of albums that I didn't get to review previously. Since I decided to take a break on rap albums for a minute, I thought I would dedicate this episode to pop albums. Without further ado, let's get started. First up is Camila Cabello with Camila. Of the five members of Fifth Harmony, before Camila went solo, of course, she was my least favorite member. Her voice was always too shrill for me, and it was always layered with autotune, and what do you know, it's all over this album. It's grating on most of the album, but when the production is stripped down like on Consequences and All These Years, her voice becomes unbearable. Never Be the Same is this cliche love-drug dichotomy of a song that doesn't separate itself from other songs that have tackled this subject matter. Havana is a catchy tune, even if Young Thug as a feature was incredibly awkward. At least there's personality in her performance when singing about wanting to get back to her home roots in Cuba. I like the message on Something's Gotta Give, about her putting her effort into a relationship, but has reached her breaking point of leaving. The ethereal production and instrumentation on The Dark is decent, and Camila actually impresses me on the song Into It. It's pretty catchy. I like the drum and clap pattern, meshed with the synths and gang vocals, but as a solo artist separating herself from the crowd of Fifth Harmony, or just separating herself from other more established pop artists, I find myself not understanding all the hype about her. I give it a strong 4. Next up is Craig David with The Time Is Now. This is his second album after about a 7-year hiatus from music, with exception to his covers album that I won't ever talk about. But I largely ignored his other comeback album, Following My Intuition, from 2016, after being unimpressed by the singles, and I'm glad I did. I personally was a fan of his UK garage pop-leaning R&B music in the early 2000s. His first album, Born to Do It, was quite the success in the US and worldwide. How successful? It sold over 8 million worldwide. It has a record for being the fastest selling debut by a British solo male artist. But after his first two albums, his fame in the US fizzled out, but his music would eventually still be known to the public in the UK, as he would then release two albums and then go on hiatus. But thanks to the internet and streaming, fans like me get to reintroduce ourselves to his music. Now that I got some of his history out of the way, how is this album? Ugh, it's not good. It's all over the place. He tries to sing over different subgenres of production that sound too sanitized to begin with. He's really trying hard to sell himself by going after different trends in R&B music and pop music. The songs Heartline and Brand New are this tropical house EDM track that should have never landed the track list because of how boring the production is and how cliche the lyrics are. Love Me Like It's Yesterday has these vocal filters that are unflattering for him, but no track is more cringeworthy than the song For the Gram, where he auto-croons about his love for this girl and Instagram. I never thought I would see the day where he would stylistically out-Drake Drake, an artist heavily influenced by him. Not to mention the corny lyrics of him saying that he's bilingual, the first language obviously being English, but the second language is emoji. Wink, wink, smiley. Those last three words were his words, not mine. He's at his best when he isn't trying too hard to sell himself. Case in point, the song Live in the Moment has this slick instrumental from K. Trinata, a producer that had Craig David on his 99.9% album, which I highly suggest you check out if you like pop-leaning R&B music. Craig David sounds like he is relaxed, and even though I'm not the biggest Gold Link fan, he was tolerable. And on the song I Know You has this interesting message about being in a club atmosphere and everyone inside just becoming friends. I like the grand vocals on the hook he performs with Bastille, even though the production is terrible on that. But man, this album was disappointing coming from a fan. I was hoping that he would be able to get into the pop landscape like he once did in the US, but this album won't cut it, unfortunately. I give it a strong 4. Next up is Troye Sivan. I didn't really know what to expect when listening to this album, but prior to listening to it, I heard his first single, My My My. It became an instant favorite for me. I liked the electronic elements and the dub vocals and just the overall production. But after listening to this and getting myself familiar with his last album, Blue Neighborhood, I found this to be more of a baby step that will hopefully lead into more darker production and compelling performances. Thankfully, most of the production team from his last album is on here, and we got a feature from Ariana Grande, who kills it on the song Dance to This. The production could easily fit into the 80s and 90s synth pop landscape. There are multiple metaphors delivered where you have to decode to find out what he is singing about, like on the title track in Plum. Thankfully, they're not too complicated to understand like they were in Blue Neighborhood. He isn't out to shock anyone as much as he is out to bask in what it means for him to grow up queer in the present age. 17 has these glitzy effects that fit in nicely with his voice and reverb. The title track has this restrained drum machine meshed with some synth bass and glitzy guitar that I like. Dance to This has him and Ariana Grande enjoying the domestic life with their lover. It's cute, but I will admit that perhaps being vocally restrained wasn't the best move for every track. Postcard is a prime example where his voice sounds too frail for my liking. I get that him playing the wistful role in the relationship makes for an interesting story, but I could have gotten maybe one track where he sounded more edgy. On the other hand, I feel that the multi-tracking can lend more weight to his vocals like it did on the title track, Plum and My My My. The tone of his voice on What a Heavenly Way to Die is too flat for me though. And the closing track, Animal, just underwhelms me as a whole. But overall, it's a decent project. There are some catchy dance songs that don't require much thought, like the subtle and intimate tracks. I give it a strong 6. Next up is Leaky Lee with So Sad, So Sexy. One of the most disappointing projects this year. After ranking her last album in my top 10 favorite albums of 2014, I didn't think that my liking of her would fall into a complete nosedive. Her raw and emotive presence is completely absent, partly thanks to generic and bleak trap instrumentation that I would expect on a Tove Lo or a Lana Del Rey album. You get directionless lyrics and bad mixing here. I give it a decent 4. And finally, we have The Weeknd with My Dear Melancholy. It's a safe EP for him. His last two albums were definitely his riskiest efforts, where he strayed away from cavernous and ambient trap instrumentation that would eventually help popularize alternative R&B today. Call Out My Name is the best song by a mile, where he tells his former lady the level of devotion that he would give to her to the point that he would give one of his kidneys to her. That last statement ended up being based on a true story. Wasted Times has this production that sounds like it would fit into the UK grime of the 2000s. I like the thick, rubbery bass and chopped vocals and his overall performance of the song, where he's trying to get back with this girl after losing her, but she's with another man. But in typical Weeknd fashion, he has a cadence and delivery to get her back. Unfortunately, Try Me is repetitive and underwhelming, and I Was Never There is pretty boring. Hurt You has a cringeworthy lyric about wanting to be in between her heart, as if that even makes any sense. Privilege picks up the pace a bit, but it's short-lived. I do like the lyrics of him and his lover ending their relationship on mutual terms, though. I give it a flat 6.